Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff. Today, I want to talk about some mistakes you're making when you're playing your rubber guard. I had an interesting day today. I taught a private lesson to a visitor from out of town. This visitor came from Minnesota, and he is a purple belt, not under the 10th Planet lineage. Now, he's been a purple belt for quite a few years. He's had a lot of experience playing some of the 10th Planet systems. He's trained with Eddie a couple of different times just at seminars, and he's bought multiple 10th Planet Black Belts DVD. So he's a big fan of this system, but again, he's not under the 10th Planet lineage. So generally, whenever somebody is coming from kind of that background, I know they're going to have a couple of glaring mistakes in their 10th Planet system. So whether it's the truck, the rubber guard, or the lockdown, there's generally going to be quite a few things they need to polish up, because most other schools just don't focus a lot of their curriculum on those systems. It's a very 10th Planet curriculum. And you generally need to find a 10th Planet black belt to really get the really good details. And so he had told me yesterday that he wanted to focus on rubber guard. And now this is really exciting for me, because there was a time where I couldn't imagine that I would be capable of teaching a private lesson on rubber guard, especially to a purple belt that had been playing it for a few years. Many of you know that when I first started out under 10th Planet, I had zero interest in the closed guard, particularly rubber guard. I just did not like playing it. I spent a lot of time drilling and repping it, but I just never had any success with it. It never felt comfortable and never felt like it was ever going to be a part of my A game. Well, over the years, I've slowly picked up things, I think through osmosis. I mean, my coach, Brandon's one of the best rubber guard players in the world. I think he's got the best DVD on the rubber guard. His meat hook set on BJJ Fanatics is incredible, and I know so many people that have picked up so many great details from that set. And this gentleman was one of them. So again, I think I've picked up a lot of information just being in the room, even during the times that I wasn't really paying attention, that I wasn't keen on practicing the movements. I just was on the mat so much when it was being taught that I eventually picked up some of the skills that I needed to have success. And over the past couple of years, I found a couple of places that I really like and have a lot of success with rubber guard. And I shared some of those details today, and I also shared some details that, again, I've picked up from other high-level 10th Planet guys that play the rubber guard. And going in, yesterday, I should say, I really thought a lot about the rubber guard, just the different paths and, you know, what are some of the common mistakes that you see in the rubber guard. And during the lesson, you know, we went over multiple questions that he had about areas where, you know, people were taking advantage of him and passing his rubber guard. And I wanted to share these with you guys, because I'm sure many of you, especially if you're not part of 10th Planet, are probably making some of these critical errors. They're just very small details that make all the difference between having success in rubber guard or getting smashed, getting flattened out, and getting your guard passed. So the first thing we talked about, and the first big question he had, was why do sometimes I get smashed and passed from the rubber guard, particularly against heavy passers like MMA fighters? He trains at an MMA heavy gym, so he's constantly rolling with, you know, guys that are fighting at the amateur and professional level, and he says those guys love testing their guard passing against his guard, and they love getting in there and trying to pass his rubber guard. And there are just times, especially there's two guys that just go in there and stuff his knee, and they get a cross face, and then he's getting passed. And I told him, I said, one of the biggest mistakes guys make playing the rubber guard is they focus on one leg. They just focus on their dominant rubber guard leg. Whatever leg they're throwing up to play high guard, that's what all their attention is to. And they forget that their other leg is just as important to their guard. Even though it's not the one that's, you know, getting thrown up high and going into the meat hook or going into New York or going into Chill Dog or trying to clear the head to go into omoplatas and go-go platas, the other leg is just as important. And if you do not do the correct things, you will get passed and embarrassed. And I told him the first thing, I just had him go through the basic rubber guard path. I just wanted to feel him do a couple of different rubber guard entries. And every time he left, he was playing with his left leg as the dominant rubber guard leg. He left his right leg behind. And by that, I mean he did a couple of movements with his left leg before he even addressed his right leg. And I told him that that was a big mistake. Because if you do not, in any guard, this is true for any guard, if you do not block the inside space, that space between your knee and your elbow, if that space is not guarded, then a good passer will find a way to win that space and they will pass your guard. And so one of the first things I like to do is I like to just bring my right knee to my chest. Okay, I bring my right knee to my chest and I bring my right arm just over my right knee, again, just like my elbows, my right knee is resting on the inside of my bicep. My right arm then acts kind of like a gooseneck. It's going to stop my opponent's outer arm from trying to either stuff my knee or trying to get up and get a cross face. And then from there, I'll look to start getting to my side and playing high guard. Now, you obviously want to do all of that simultaneously, right? You want to get on your side, and then you want both legs to get to the proper position to play the rubber guard. And again, most people do a pretty good job with getting to their side and then playing, getting their leg up to the rubber guard, but they forget again. They don't put any tension. They don't put any effort into making sure they maintain that space between their knee elbow connection. And you'll hear that day one, right? Like if the moment you give up that knee elbow and you start to get extended, your leg starts to get stretched out, they start to clear your knee, they get a cross face, there's really not any guard that's going to save you from getting passed, especially against a talented MMA fighter. And so really make sure that if you're having that issue, it's not something to do with your rubber guard. It really has to do more with your fundamental guard movements. And I guarantee you that you're making that mistake in other guards. And you really want to spend some time working and making sure that you're winning that space consistently as you transition from, let's say closed guard or butterfly guard or butter half guard to the rubber guard. You want to make sure that that right leg or your non-rubber guard leg is slightly retracting, making sure that your knee, elbow, that space is safe and not going to get opened up to get past. Now, the next thing we talked about was why sometimes guys are able to pull out of his carny attempts and his go-go platas. And this is a really common issue. You'll see it all the time. Guys will pull their leg, they'll clear the head, and then they'll get flattened out, and then a guy will turn, like whatever arm's trapped, he'll turn palm up to the ceiling and then limp arm his arm out. It's super frustrating. Or even, you just get smashed, right? So you go into rubber guard and you get flattened out and you're just getting crushed. So the biggest thing you have to do now we're going to switch and talk about the other leg. So the rubber guard dominant leg. So if I'm playing rubber guard with my left leg, it's crucial that as I get into the rubber guard position, so as I win an angle and get to my side and I bring that left knee up, so that's the first thing, is I'm going to bring my knee up. I'm not going to pull on my foot. So I'm not going to try and reach with my hand to grab my foot, okay? I want to hug my knee. So I want my left knee coming as high up as possible. You would love to be able to have that hip flexibility where your knee's coming up to your shoulder, right? If you're laying down on the ground and you can get that left knee because you have that hip flexor flexibility to where you can get that left knee as close to your shoulder as possible, where you can kind of hug right there. Well, now once you can do that, your left knee is going to pinch, okay? The knee pinch is crucial on the rubber guard leg, okay? It makes all the difference in the world. And he was shocked just how, just adding a pinch and then starting to trend belly down, like where you can hang your weight through that leg, it makes it almost impossible for your opponent to stack into you, and it makes your rubber guard way more dangerous, okay? So the emphasis is not pulling on the leg. You'll see guys get injured. I've seen a few people injure their knees, particularly that LCL, because they're pulling on their foot, they're trying to get into the position. That's all wrong, all right? You want to hug the knee. The emphasis is on the knee pinch. So whether you're going to, you know, what I told him is that he was making a mistake in his initial setup, right? Like he was having success, you know, and he was tapping people out, but his dominant rubber guard leg had one or two little small issues. And then his non-rubber guard leg also had that issue where he was losing that space, that knee elbow space. And so, you know, from there, like, oh man, why are guys pulling out of my go-go plotters or my, my carny attempts? Well, it's because you didn't set up your rubber guard with a knee pinch and it got looser and looser as you transitioned through it. Okay. And a lot of times guys with really good flexibility, they'll find that they actually lose the rubber guard because they can clear almost anybody. They can throw the leg over the face, but they'll find that they have a tough time getting submissions, especially against grapplers that have been in the rubber guard, have been deep through the rubber guard, and kind of know how to navigate their ways out. They'll find that finishing those guys are really, really difficult. So make sure that you are getting that knee pinch, okay? That's the first thing. And then being able to trend belly down. Brandon's got some phenomenal material where he really shows how to trend belly down from the rubber guard, like how you want to get that knee pinch. You want to almost think of it like you're doing a swim move. So if you know how to hang your weight through the swim move, especially if like you can do it from closed guard. So if you're in closed guard, you get that arm across, right? And you're in that kind of prison guard, that homie control position that Eddie calls it. If you know how to do the swim move from there, that's a really similar idea to how you want your knee pinch and how you want to be able to trend belly down, you know, to really get deep rubber guard plays and to really be able to hang your weight through rubber guard with your rubber guard leg. Now, the next big mistake guys make is that they become obsessed and kind of one track, one minded, all right? One submission is on their mind. They become focused on a singular movement in the rubber guard and they miss all of the other parts, all of the easier offensive opportunities, particularly the omoplata. You know, and Eddie always says worst case scenario is you get an omoplata. But often guys, especially through some of the plays like the meat hook, really forget that. No, just take the easier option. Take the omoplata. And so we were talking today because he loves playing the meat hook. And he likes that meat hook triangle, but he's like, there's just times that battle is so difficult. Do you have any ideas? And I just was telling him, I'm like, look, why that battle is so difficult is because you're so obsessed, okay, with once you get the meat hook, you grab wrist control. Well, everybody in the world knows you're going for a triangle, especially with training partners that you've already trained with. You are forgetting that, especially if they start to turn their shoulder at all or they start to look away at all, you can go immediately into an omoplata. And you're missing so many easy omoplata transitions because you're only thinking about the triangle. I was telling them, like, the triangle only happens if they try and pull away. So if they try and pull that arm back, that triangle is an easy option. But if they're trying to stay disciplined with their elbow, especially if their elbow, so if you imagine you've got the meat hook again with your left leg and your right arm is grabbing the wrist and you're looking to use your right leg to pop the triangle. Well, if my opponent's elbows are close to his body and connect to his body, even if I have wrist control, it can be very difficult to get the triangle right there. There are a couple of little tricks that you can use to get the triangle, but still, especially if you're going against a beast, it can be very, very difficult. The more my partner tries to pull his elbow out and his elbow starts to get flared from his body, getting through that space can be very easy. But if I'm not getting that elbow flare and he's not trying to pull back and I don't see that space, you need to transition to another path of rubber guard, particularly just going to the omoplata, whether it's through something like a fire and flip or, you know, you get kind of that shenane, which Brandon teaches, and it's one of his best movements. He just kills just going right to that omoplata, or you can go right into like a go-go clinch from there. But what I'm saying is like your desire to do that one part, if it is the triangle from, you know, from the meat hook, it's just one example, but the desire to do that makes you not see all of the other offensive opportunities, okay? And again, particularly with some of even like higher level guys, right? I shouldn't say higher level guys, just guys that are pretty good at the rubber guard, like the purple belts. You got like a purple belt level rubber guard. You've got one or two things that you really like to do. And again, you forget that none of the rubber guard is a system that you can transition through to really break down and destroy your opponents. Now, the last thing that I really want to talk about is clearing the head. Well, I guess there's two more things. So clearing the head's the first. A lot of guys really struggle clearing the head, and there's some quite a few different ways to clear the head. You know, you can do the kung fu move, you can do the shinene, you can do the fire and flip, and there's a couple of other ways that guys, you know, really like and have a lot of success with. But one of the big issues is some people, either they start pulling on that foot, like they'll be doing everything right, they'll have a knee pinch, but then they'll try and force a clear, and they'll try and pull their leg over, and then everything falls apart from there. They'll start to lose that inside space because they're pulling on their rubber guard leg, and then the leg that's supposed to be winning that knee-elbow connection, that inside space right there, it starts to get lazy, and then it starts to get cleared, and then you're getting passed. Or, you know, you lose that knee pinch and your knee starts to flare open. And so then people start to stack in, and then they've won the angle back. They've got you flattened out, and then they put their palm up and then, you know, limp arm out. Or, you know, just so many things can happen. And really mastering how to clear the head, just mastering over and over, like doing one of those or two of those clears over and over and over again, is a crucial minor transition that will make or break many of your offensive movements during the rubber guard. Eddie talks all the time about how he just practiced the kung fu move tens of thousands of times. I know Brandon, you know, when he was first getting into the rubber guard, Eddie told him to practice the kung fu move thousands of times, and he would just, you know, during commercial breaks, or he would just be sitting down on the ground watching TV, and he would just do 1,000 a night. It's the easiest little drill that you can do, right? It's super, super simple. But it takes a lot of getting used to, because it is a weird movement, especially when people are trying to stack into you and guys are, you know, trying to bully their way past you. Clearing the head can be uncomfortable, especially if you don't have a lot of reps on it, okay? So do not sleep on how important it is to master clearing the head, okay? See so many rubber guards, great rubber guard plays, start to break down because the clearing of the head sucks. It sucks. And the better your angle, okay, if you really get good at framing and understanding how to use your frames, you'll find also that that makes all the difference when you're going to clear the head when you're playing the rubber guard. Now, this is truly the last thing that I want to talk about. And it is, once you've gotten the omoplata, understanding that anybody that's good, anybody that's had any time spent playing against someone that has a rubber guard or that's been doing jiu-jitsu for a while, it's no gi. You're not in the gi. You're not going to finish the omoplata. 95%+ of the time, you are not going to finish. Your partner is going to roll out. You have to master how to follow that roll up to make sure you land in a dominant top position. Now, the way that I do it, it's the easiest thing in the world. I follow right up and I end up in a dominant twister side position. And if you do it correctly, you should have zero issue in finishing with your body weight on top of your partner's bicep and your left arm bumping into your partner's knees there. So I guess if they rolled, it would be their right knee. So to turn their hips, and then you take your left arm across to, again, the perfect twister side position. That's how you should end. But there's so often I see guys struggle with this transition, and they end up in scrambles. And a lot of times they end up losing these scrambles. And that's something we talked about today. Is he was like, you know, one thing I'm hesitant about going, especially for a straight omoplata, is when guys roll out, there's times I end up like in losing positions. And so we went over just that really simple path to ending up in the dominant twister side. And it's something that you need to master, okay? Because you don't want to end up in scrambles. Like, you're on bottom, you went through the rubber guard, you're dominating, right? You go over, maybe you try go-go plata, then you switch to an omo plata, and now the guy rolls out, and now you're ending up in a bad position. I even see sometimes guys get omo plata themselves because they're just undisciplined with their arms, and then they're getting omo plata. And I'm like, guys, you know, if I ever see a student get omo plata from their omo plotting their partner, I'm always like, that just can't happen. You know, like, that's one that you should be a little bit ashamed of. You know, you went from being in attacking an omoplata, and then you yourself got put in an omoplata. That just cannot happen. And make sure, I mean, I think there's tons of videos of how to follow up a omoplata attack when an opponent rolls out. You also want to be able to stop a couple of the other omoplata escapes, whether guys are trying to cartwheel around or they're trying to come underneath. They're kind of trying to do like a I can't remember what the escape's called in 10th Planet, but there's one where guys like come underneath, they like roll underneath, and if you don't float on top, you'll also end up in a really bad position. So I'll see, especially like big strong guys will use that escape where they'll kind of roll underneath, and if you don't float and you don't follow them over to the other side, you'll end up in a bad position. So make sure you master all of the omoplata transitions that are going to happen, because, you know, somebody that's good is going to force you to transition because you're not going to finish the omoplata. Now, there are times where, yeah, again, you can even catch a really good dude with an omoplata. It happens every now and again. But as I was explaining today to, the guy I was giving a private lesson to, I was like, look, Brandon's one of the best rubber guard players in the world. He's definitely one of the best rubber guard, instructors, top 10, no doubt in my mind. I'd probably even say top 5. But I would bet every penny I've ever made, bet my card, bet everything, that he couldn't tap me in an omoplata because I can always force the roll. Always. Okay? So just understand that you have to be able to stop that roll if you're going to be a high-level closed guard player that attacks with a high guard. Because if the omoplata isn't something you're comfortable with, then you're going to lose a lot of faith in the rubber guard. Because a lot of guys, like myself, you know, I was telling him as well, like, if I'm going against somebody super good with rubber guard and I'm starting to just lose a little bit of ground, I just force the omoplata. I just turn away and then start to force the roll. And against good guys, I'll end up on bottom. But I'm like, man, just thank God it wasn't a go-go clinch or a carny or something like that. But if the guy hasn't practiced that technique, there's times that I can, cartwheel pass, or I can come underneath, or I can roll out and end up on top. And that's all, when I'm always kind of like, okay, thank God they don't have that those transitions in the back. So if you're going to be a rubber guard player, gotta master that stuff. I hope that helps, guys. I tried my best, to explain some of these details. Obviously, there was a lot of 10th Planet lingo, so if you don't play the rubber guard, half this episode I was speaking a different language to you. But I really think the rubber guard has its place. It's won an ADCC World Championship. I mean, we saw Vinny Magalesh use it to beat Fabricio Verdum in the ADCC Absolute Final. I mean, he used the rubber guard path to get the sweep. Just like I said, flipped over, forced a roll, ended up sweeping, getting on top, beats Fabricio Verdum to win the ADCC title. We saw Tony Ferguson use it to win his interim title against Kevin Lee, where he ended up getting the triangle. We saw Ben Saunders use it to get the first, omoplata in UFC history, still first and only. And we've seen it so many other times. I know there's, guys out there that love to just say rubber guard sucks and it doesn't work. And, like Gordon Ryan all the time is like, rubber guard sucks, rubber guard's the worst. But he's wrong. Right? It's got its time and place, and there are times it's been shown to be insanely effective, and especially to stop punches. I mean, that's what it was really created for, and there's so many examples in fights of guys using rubber guard to take zero damage. I mean, even a guy like Jason Knight, who wasn't the highest level grappler, I mean, he was just a blue belt, but he had some rubber guard, used some rubber guard in some of his fights that was just insanely high level, and a really good example of why the rubber guard how the rubber guard can be given to a really good athlete, a obviously UFC level fighter, but you know, you take this blue purple belt level grappler and give him a strong rubber guard, and he dominated some of his MMA fights with some of those transitions. I hope you guys enjoyed the PGF. Man, the PGF finale was incredible. I thought especially the final two matches, our super fight, Ethan Birmingham versus Manny. Manny looked incredible, and I hope Ethan's knee didn't get hurt too bad. I heard the pop, though. I was probably like 100 yards away, and I heard his knee pop. So that wasn't good, but their match was fire. Both guys came out looking to aggressively submit the other, and Manny just walked away as the victor. And then we had the finale, Hunter Colvin versus Elijah Carlton. And you guys know I'm a big Elijah fan. Elijah's definitely one of my one of my homies, and I'm a big fan of his jiu-jitsu. Hunter's super cool. I got to spend a couple just kind of like a little bit of time with Hunter, and he was incredibly respectful. This guy that I really am going to start following and have become a fan of, especially after this weekend, just the way he handled everything. And you know, his jiu-jitsu is amazing. But he ended up rear naked choking Elijah Carlton in the finals with a super slick black take off of the leg lock. So if you're not working your leg lock defense transitions to the back, and especially to just immediately getting a deep back to rear naked choke, you need to step your game up. We've seen it work so many different times against so many good athletes. Elijah Carlton, Craig Jones, Gordon Ryan, like if it's working on those guys, it's going to work on that blue and purple belt that's causing you nightmares because they keep leg locking you over and over and over again. So study back takes off of leg lock defense. Till next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. Peace.